Now, if someone was to ask you how you're doing, would one of the words that would leave your lips, would one of those words be tired? How are you? I'm tired. Just thinking about that this week. Cal Newport, he's an author, kind of a productivity person. He uses the phrase, the great exhaustion. We've heard of the great resignation, but the great exhaustion. It's this idea that maybe even more than ever, at least in modern history, that people in the United States and presumably much of the Western world are just tired. Like we have just been going nonstop. We've endured so much. You think of all the things in the last 5 years that we've gone through, whether it's all the political divisions, multiple wars. There was a sickness that went around. And in every case, you know, in your work environment, it was probably, well, do more. Pivot. Figure it out. And so we've been pivoting and pivoting and pivoting and figuring it out and trying new things. And in all likelihood, no one ever said, or your boss didn't say, like, hey, good job. Take a break. Maybe they have. But see, we're in a series called the Five Love Like Jesus Habits. We're looking at these kind of foundational spiritual disciplines, these habits that help us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And so first week, we talked about the connecting habits, how important it is to be connecting to God through God's word on a daily basis, to be connecting with God's people, that we are designed to be part of community. So habits of connection are vitally important. We talked about prayer, how we need places where we can just be like brutally honest with God, and how who we are in private is who we are, and that's the us that we're called to engage with God, that God sees all of our inner stuff, all of our fears, all of our shortcomings, all of our disappointments, all of our brokenness, everything. So we might as well talk to him about it. And then last week we looked at generosity and how gratitude, and how people, if we're going to love like Jesus, we need to learn how to give like Jesus. And Jesus was supremely generous. So what's that mean for us as we're followers of Jesus to grow in generosity? Well, today I want to look at the piece of the habit that when you first hear it, you'll go, that is great. Yes, absolutely. This is the one, when I say it, you'll be like, yeah, I've been waiting for that. But it's a bit of a sneak attack, okay? Or I don't know if it's a trick, but it's the one that will sound the best at first until we realize this is actually one of the hardest habits to truly implement. In fact, it is so countercultural that if you start actually doing this, people will think you're weird, or at least weirder than you already are. But it's countercultural because we live in a 24/7, 365 world. So here's the habit. You've probably already figured it out, or you've read your bulletin, which is great. It's the habit of rest. Who wants a rest? Yes, says everyone. Who is actually in patterns and habits of rest? Now it gets trickier. Like I said, we live in a 24/7 world. See, I remember, I'm old enough, I was born in the 70s, early 72. I'm a 72. Okay. And we sometimes, as a family, this is probably not a good family practice, but we did it. And honestly, at the time, I really enjoyed it. When we were having dinner at 6 o'clock, we would watch the evening news. So we're all around the table, we're watching the evening news, and the evening news would go from 6 until 7. And you would have about 10 minutes of world news, then you'd have a bunch of kind of national news, and then you'd have maybe another 10 minutes of kind of regional news, and then there'd be the weather, and then there'd be a human interest story, and then you're done, you know? And that was news. Do anybody remember that when we actually would watch the evening news? Like it would be at a particular time. And then there would be a time that the news stopped. And the news would no longer be on. And it'd be Disney or it'd be something else, you know. It'd be, you know, some Leave It to Beaver. There'd be something else other than the news. Can you remember that? But that's just one example of the world that we live in, where the news cycle, now just one example among many, is absolutely constant. It is 24/7, 365. You could wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, turn on the TV, and you could find the news. So we are permanently connected. Or our devices. There was a time where, do you remember when phones used to have wires on them and they were connected to the walls and we would all run around wireless? And now it's, the phones are no longer connected to the walls, but they're constantly connected to us. So on some level, we're actually moving into some unprecedented territory as a species, where we have 24/7, we have a global awareness of what's going on around us. We have, people can reach us at almost any time of the day or night. It's a constant, just constant, constant input all the time, all the time. Which perhaps is why, one, it's really hard. It's really hard to truly Sabbath and to truly rest. And I just want to even acknowledge up front, if you're a young parent, if you're a homemaker, some of these, the things we're going to be talking about today are just enormously difficult. And you're facing just tremendous cultural pressure. So I just want to acknowledge that as we step into this foundational teaching in the scripture, that part of what it means to follow Jesus, part of what it means to love like Jesus, is to learn how to rest like Jesus. So, how did Jesus rest? Let's take a look. Okay. Now, one of the big patterns that we see in the scriptures very early on is this idea of what the Jews would call Sabbath. This idea that there's one day in the week that's different from the rest, and the point of that day of the week is to rest. Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Let's read it together. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing. So on the seventh day, he, word of the day, rested. Pause there for a second. Hang on, pause, one back one. There we go. God rested. God rested. Does God need to rest? No. God is infinite. God's all powerful. God doesn't get tired, but he rested. God rested. God rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Then we get to Exodus chapter 20, part of the Ten Commandments. Oh my. Part of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day, by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughters, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here's the first really big idea. Just need to lock in on this. Rest is part of God's plan. Rest is part of God's design. The blueprint of the universe includes patterns of rest. So the same God that created you, that built, made all the giraffes, that made the Rocky Mountains, that filled the Pacific Ocean, the same God designed you Where part of, if we were reading the instruction manual for being yourself, it would include rest. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And one of the things that God does is rest. Now, God the Father may not need to rest, but he sure designed us with a need for it. And he made this pattern. It also reminds us that the Israelites, they were inconsistent in how they practiced Sabbath, just like we are. Sometimes they would do the very same thing that we do, which is to go, yeah, that is a great idea, but I got work to do. Remember, they lived in an agricultural society. And if you're here and you're an orchardist, or you're a farmer, I mean, you understand how it is very difficult to take a day off because the needs of the trees, the needs of your field, they don't rest. So it's really easy to just keep going all the time. So sometimes that's exactly what the Israelites would do. We do the same thing. We actually believe that if we work every day, we're going to accomplish more than if we work for six and rest for one. So sometimes the Israelites would do exactly the same thing that we did, and we do. And we see this pattern in their culture and their society kind of built in, that if God was large and in charge of our nation, we would be people who take rests, who every 6 days we get a day off. Now, and to a certain degree, we sort of built some of this in. Now we've kind of fouled it up a bit, but you probably heard of or read the history of the weekend. Not the band, but the weekend itself. Because Saturday is the Sabbath, so the Jews still practice. If you're a practicing Jew, you practice resting on Saturday, the Sabbath. Your Adventist friends, they're not wrong that Saturday is the Sabbath. But the Christian church fairly early on moved into a pattern of worshiping on Sunday. We see this even in the book of Acts, some of the flexibility about the dates. And of course, as the church became increasingly both Jew and Gentile, the Jews would continue to go to synagogue on the Saturday, but then they wanted to still worship with their Gentile brothers and sisters. So they generally would worship on the day of the resurrection. Jesus rose on the Sunday, so that's a great day to worship. If you're in Easter, you might as well just stay in the pattern. So we see both of those trends throughout history, and because there were 2 days, at least when it was predominantly either the U.S. culture was predominantly either Christian or Jewish, might as well take 2 days off for the weekend. But now, we've even seen, even with that pattern of the weekend, the weekend is often the busiest time for retail. Or how many times have you gone to a store midweek, like maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, and that's when the store is closed? But this passage reminds us that if God had his way with society, there would be patterns of hard work and then patterns of rest. That rest is part of God's design. Now, like I said, the Israelites, they would do some of the same things that we tend to do with God's instructions. Sometimes they would ignore them, like we typically do, like our culture certainly does. And sometimes they would turn God's instructions into this really like this checklist of these things you have to do. If you're an Orthodox Jew, then you've got 39 rules for the Sabbath. And by Jesus' time, there was this whole kind of ecosystem of all these different rules all governing the Sabbath. Here's the things you can't eat on the Sabbath. Here's how far you can walk on the Sabbath. You can't look in the mirror on the Sabbath because you might want to fix your hair. There's all these things that you could not do on the Sabbath. And Jesus had a way of, this was the pattern of the rules of his time, that Jesus sometimes flexed these rules. Because when the focus is on the rule-keeping of the Sabbath, people would get themselves into these really goofy patterns like, here's these things I can't do on the Sabbath, so therefore I don't need to help people on the Sabbath, because that would be work. And Jesus broke that rule frequently. He would help people on the Sabbath, and it would get him into trouble. Go Jesus. And even though the Sabbath is no longer a law that binds us, I mean, God is not going to love you more if you manage to check off a day of the week that you are resting, or even if it, you know, if on the Saturday, that doesn't necessarily, if you rest on Saturday, that doesn't on its own necessarily bring you closer to God. It's still the concept of Sabbath, the idea of rest, is still vitally important. And if we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to think about how rest factors into our lives today. Jesus put it this way in the book of Mark, chapter 2. He says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following your example of disobedience. This is a reminder that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is ultimately our Sabbath rest. So we're not under the legalistic requirements of Sabbath, and we are still invited to receive rest, patterns of rest, as a gift. It's not a requirement, but it is a gift that God wants to offer to his people. These are healthy patterns of living, and we see Jesus taking time to rest. Jesus, Mark chapter 6, verse 31, says to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." It's a couple slides ahead of you. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Maybe that's God's word to you this morning. We see Jesus in these, you know, even in his day-to-day life. Here's someone who he would preach to thousands. He would feed thousands of people. He would heal all sorts of people. And there's times when Jesus himself, like he would get away. He would disengage. Slightly later in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 and 46, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. So there's times where Jesus would just get away. He would get away to recover. He would get away to spend time with the Lord. He would get away to recharge with the Father. That's the purpose of Sabbath, of rest. To let your soul refill. To take time away. To connect with God. To listen to God. Now, if you're like me, and you like to be productive, and I'm assuming you're generally hardworking, if part of the teaching of rest is that most of the time we are engaged in things. We're doing productive things. And that's true whether we are in our vocational years or in our retirement years. God called you to be productive. God called you to make a difference. God called you to engage with the world around you. And he calls us to dedicate approximately 14% of our time to rest. And if you're like me, sometimes you struggle with that. It's hard to disconnect. We love being active. We love being productive. So what does it mean to rest? So I'm going to poke and prod just a little bit. One of the ideas that has been helpful for me Is this concept that resting is trusting? Say that with me. Resting is trusting. That when we rest, when we disengage from whatever our primary thing is, and here's where parents, I recognize, if you're especially parents of young children, some of this is enormously difficult. This doesn't mean you let your kids go feral. Might mean that you and your spouse take turns, you know, or you call in grandma and grandpa, but something. So parenting, let's just be honest, it's especially difficult. But the concept of Sabbath, the concept of rest, is that whatever our primary activities are, whether that's volunteering or working somewhere, we pull away, we disengage, and trust that ultimately those organizations we care about, causes we care about, tasks we care about, they're ultimately in God's hands. I'm taking my hand off the wheel, Jesus. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. So what I would urge us to consider just a bit here is, you know, so what are the kinds of guardrails you might put around a Sabbath? You know, guardrails, like kind of like on a road, these are those things that you know, notice how a guardrail is at the side of the road and not right on the exact edge of the cliff. You know, it's that thing that your car can bump against and scrape against. It actually keeps you from falling off the cliff. So guardrails in our lives can be a little bit like guidelines. They can be just these helpful principles that we apply as a general rule to help us live in the directions that we know that God is calling us to. I want you to, for a moment, just to consider, what are some guardrails you can put around your calendar? What are some guardrails that will enable you to have at least one day a week that is different from the rest? One day a week that is dedicated to resting and connecting with God. So, resting, things like, what are life-giving activities for you? What are things that when you do them, they just recharge your soul? Might be even helpful if you don't have a list of those things, to start making a list. What are the things? What are those close relationships? What are the tasks, the hobbies maybe, that refill your soul, that you just find an inherent joy in? You might notice music is on the list for me. But what are those life-giving, soul-filling activities? Who are the people who are closest to you? If you're married, please let one of those people be your spouse. So you're investing in those close relationships. So a Sabbath day can be a great date day. You're investing in those close relationships. You're investing in soul-enriching activity. And you're allowing yourself to disconnect from other things. Now, again, I said I was going to poke and prod a little bit. I'm just sharing some things from one who has struggled with this. It is, on a side note, even though I, admittedly, I've struggled to keep Sabbath every week. For me, it's Tuesday. Tuesday is my day off. That's not your job to remember. It's my job to do it. And I haven't kept it perfectly, but I've kept it quite consistently. And I honestly believe, now that I'm 30 plus years into ministry, I honestly believe that's one of the primary reasons that I'm still standing when the vast majority of my colleagues have burned out at this point. That patterns of rest are vitally important, especially if you're in a high-stress, high-demand job. So what are the guardrails that you might put around it? Here's some things that have been helpful for me, and maybe there's a version of this that you need as well. That there is a day in the week where my phone goes on to do not disturb. If you have an Android phone, scroll down the settings at the very top. There's a button that says do not disturb. It's glorious. And here's the neat thing about the do not disturb button, or if you're on an iPhone, there's a button called focus. And under the focus button, there's a button that says do not disturb. It's glorious. Okay, is that there can be a handful of people. If you're on Android, you put a star next to the name in your contacts list. If you're on an iPhone, you make them a favorite. So there's a handful of people that probably do need to get a hold of you. But there's a whole bunch of others that can wait. And you can get the message later. And you can respond to the call later. It turns off the notifications. There might be all sorts of stores you love, and that's okay. But do you really need your phone to ping every time there's a sale? You might love social media. Do you really need to ping every time Elon Musk burps? I mean, do you really need that? Do any of us need that? We can turn it off. We can turn it off, or you could literally turn it off. There's a power button on your phone. You can turn it off. I'm being a little sarcastic here because I've had to learn that one the hard way. You've got to turn it off. If you have cable TV news on in your house, I want you to engage the power button at least one day a week. Turn it off. God's still in charge, even when you don't know what Fox News is saying. God is still in charge when MSN is quiet. God's still in charge. Resting is trusting. Turn it off. Turn it off. So that may mean for some, if social media. Now, I think trust your own soul with this, but if you find yourself, if you're on social media and you just kind of feel your soul moving into those places of like, I got to do that, 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 I need to reach out to this person, what about this? For one day a week, at least, turn it off. Listen to your soul. Listen to what the Spirit is speaking to your heart. And turn it off. Because unless we say no, at least sometimes, to all the input, we're so distracted by all the input that we may not mean to do this, but we're actually saying no to God. His voice speaks most clearly through the Word, and through stillness. If you can't remember the last time you've been bored, please turn something off and be bored. Some of your best ideas will happen when you're bored. And we can help our kids with this too, and our grandkids with this too. The technology, we got to be, it's morally neutral. It can be used for good. It can be used for bad. But if it's on all the time, it's not, it needs limits. It needs guardrails. Turn it off. Turn it off. God's still in control. It's okay. You can turn it off. As you look at your calendar, if every single day is the same, and there isn't a day in the week that you treat differently, maybe please consider doing so. Not every day needs to be an on day. God designed us so that 6 + 1 = 7 + 0 every single time. It's the pattern of health. And it was and is the pattern of Jesus. Jesus rested. God rested. God the Father rested. God the Son rested. Jesus could have pulled the whole divinity card at that point. He could have drawn on his the Father's unending strength. He could have gone 24/7, 365, but he didn't. He embraced the same human limitations that you and I have, and he still saved the world. So, well, help me preach the last piece of this. Do you think people today are more tired than they were maybe in eras past? Yeah? What do you think people find exhausting or distracting?
Everything is always on.
Everything is always on. Okay, yeah. Other thoughts, things that you think people find exhausting or distracting. The news, yeah. Okay. What was that again?
The unrest,
that there's conflict everywhere all the time, and most of the time we can do very little about it. And we pray for the conflicts around the world. We do what we can, but we also recognize there's many things we just can't do. And so we do what we can, and then we leave the rest to the Lord. Resting is trusting. How others? What do you think are some of the sources of distraction or people pleasing? Oh, what a good word!
What's for dinner?
Yeah. Now that is a challenge too. If you're a homemaker, yeah. Especially that is an honest challenge. Yeah. But yeah. That's an honest challenge.
Fear of missing out.
FOMO. Yeah, fear of missing out. Exactly.
We're always available.
And that is difficult. It's really, really difficult. We feel a lot of pressure to be on all the time. Just a little thought out there. If you, like, just to put maybe a spiritual warfare lens on this, if you were the devil and you wanted God's people to get disconnected from the Spirit of God, what do you think are some of the strategies, the most potentially effective strategies in doing that?
Chaos.
Be busy doing good. And there's nothing wrong with doing good, but we have to. Follow the pattern of Jesus, and from time to time, we have to stop. We have to stop. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, Jesus speaks these words, and I believe that they're his invitation to us today as well. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, what's our word?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I hope that we could just even, I just want to lead us in a brief prayer exercise, and just for a moment, we'll do something that in communication world, certainly in the internet world, is absolutely deadly. It's a horrible form of communication, and we're going to try it. We're going to be quiet. I'm going to stop talking for a minute. And I just invite you into stillness. Just to listen and see what invitation the Holy Spirit, who's right here, has been present with us the entire time, who's heard your heart, who understands your fatigue. See what the Holy Spirit has to say. And what he's inviting you into. Remember, this is, if you walk away from this going, feeling like God is very upset with me because I don't Sabbath very well, you've totally missed the point. But what I do hope all of us will hear is God is inviting me to rest and spend time with him. This is not a requirement, it's an invitation.